And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Good morning, good afternoon, whatever time of day it is that you are listening, folks. Thank you very, very much for listening. Day today is the 10th of January, year of our Lord 2023. Welcome to yet another edition of the Bunt and Cardigan Show presented by The Athletic. I'm, of course, joined by the on again, off again, man who wears the cardigan, James Edwards III of The Athletic. James!
Weird week. Change that first part.
How come?
To the man that no longer wears the cardigan.
Yeah, and the guy who also doesn't have his hair in a bun and hasn't for over a year now.
Yeah,
we've changed. What's your
fables?
The buzz in shiesty.
Why I gotta be shiesty?
I don't even have a buzz anymore. I don't know what we would call this, but it's not a buzz anymore.
The buzz in man purse.
You gotta. What do you? You wear like a tote bag or something? You a satchel guy now?
I mean, I always.
Did you really? You get that for Europe?
I mean, I'm going to Europe with it. Yeah, but also am one of those guys that, like, when I wear pants, like, I've lost 50 AirPods that have slid out. My wallet's slidden out. Like, no more stuff in my pockets. I got a nice little leather messenger bag that is.
That's real nice.
Thank you.
When I got turned on to that was one thing that California did to me that I did really appreciate is it turned me on to the whole tote bag thing. Because even living in Chicago, like, I understood the value of, like, reusable bags because there is a bag tax here for, like, plastic bags.
And environment.
And, of course, for environmental reasons. But there's also that bag tax that's levered in California, too. So, also just for, like, aesthetic purposes, tote bags are awesome. James, weird week for the Pistons. Big win in the Bay, annoying loss against the Sixers. Before we get into all of that, you wrote a beautiful story for The Athletic this week, and I would love to give you a minute or two to pump that up.
Yeah. I mean, people may have heard. I tweeted it when it happened, and the Pistons have done stuff. And if you've been to the arena, he's done a PSA. But Pistons assistant coach Bill Baino was diagnosed with prostate cancer late in the summer. The way he found out about it was the NBA Coaches Association does free health screening for all coaches at Summer League because, I mean, obviously the majority of coaches are older. And then aside from that, like, they don't just do, like, cancer screenings. They do all types of health screenings. So, he waited in line 2 hours, kind of thought about not getting it, and then decided to get it. Learned about a month after Summer League that he was diagnosed with prostate cancer and had to miss the first couple of weeks, months of the season. For people that don't know, Bill Baino is the guy that if you ever get to the arena early and you see Cade working out, or if you did before he got hurt, and before Baino had cancer, like, Baino was the one that worked him out. Like, that was his direct... that was the coach for him that he called Cade's his project. So, like, all summer they worked out, but they obviously had to stop in August. So, this is Bill Baino's kind of path back to he's now back and traveling with the team. But his mother was the sixth of nine in her family that died from terminal cancer. So there's some just kind of very morbid but peaceful quotes in there where he's just like, I knew I would get cancer and I won't be surprised if I get it again. So worth checking out if you just maybe want, like, a feel-good redemption story, or if cancer's impacted you in any way, or if you just want to learn more about those on the peripherals of your favorite basketball team.
That was one of those stories. I hadn't done this in a while. Felt good to get back in the saddle doing this with one of James's stories. I was in, like, the third paragraph when I scrolled all the way down to the bottom, gave it the little green guy who really likes the story, then scrolled back up and finished reading. I didn't even get to the end of it. That's how good it was. You mentioned Cade.
Sounds like to me, you only got to the third paragraph?
No.
It sounds like to me you don't have a subscription and it cut off and then you went to meh.
What are you talking about? I said I got to the first I'm of joking. All. Even if I didn't have a subscription, I would just go to the paywall remover. Can you legally say that?
I mean, you're not going to go to jail, but like, relax. Well,
first of all, I have a subscription to The Athletic.
But don't tell people about the paywall remover.
We did Mike and Keith's pod before the holidays, and I was the one who was pumping subscribing to The Athletic. And when we came back last week, I was the one who led with there was a promo on The Athletic to get a subscription. So, hey, I'm a good soldier.
I'm not testing your loyalty, but for those who do not know about the tricks that are possible.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, gotcha. Well, hey, you mentioned Cade. One thing we did not cover from the holiday break, this does matter. I have to issue a demerit or two to Cade Parker Cunningham, for shaving his beard. What the hell is that all about?
New year, new him. I don't know. How did you know this? I've only seen Cade once since he got surgery.
I think it was on his IG story. It was him and Riley. We haven't seen Riley in a while either. Has she been going to the games?
I mean, I've seen her this season when he was playing, yeah.
Gotcha, yeah. I just remember part of his rookie year, they would always, like, cut to his family, and you would always hear her. I was like, oh, nice, like, she's there. That's really cute. They didn't really do that as much. I guess he's also not playing anymore. One thing we also did not get a chance to cover, James, I'll give you the floor again for this. Marvin Bagley out for an extended period of time, looking like March, maybe.
Yeah, he fractured his hand, fingers, and had to get surgery. We obviously haven't got to see Marvin since the injury, which was early last week. But he had been playing with two fingers taped on his right hand. I remember he jammed them or hurt them like maybe a month or so back. And I wonder if those are the same kind of finger bones that really took a dive this time. But he did, like, he was playing with taped fingers for a little bit on that hand. So, certainly, yeah, stinks for him, a guy that has not – I think he's only played 60 or more games once in his career, just various injuries, just kind of unlucky. It looks like – I guess it could be as early as late February, early March, but, like, at that point, I don't know. You just – I doubt his season is done, but,
So that's what I was going to say. Well, first of all, do we know, is it the same hand as the that he dealt with in Sacramento? Because he's had this before.
That I don't recall.
Gotcha. Am I thinking of the foot injury? I swear he had a hand injury.
I know he had knee, but I don't remember about a hand.
He's kind of had it all over, I feel like.
Yeah, he's been operation, unfortunately for him. It's not like a one chronic thing. It's been a bunch of little things here and there.
Can I give you a little silver lining, maybe? I was chewing on this. I don't know if this is true. You'll guide me in the right direction. We've been mentioning the trade deadline over the last few weeks as it draws nearer and nearer and nearer. Feels like it's closer this year than it usually is. And we've been pretty consistent about, like, hey, probably nothing's going to happen. Maybe a guy will get moved. You know, maybe Neurons will hit the buyout market. But I'm looking at this injury and I'm thinking, well, okay, you know, you had Jalen Duren out against the Sixers, right? So we're looking at maybe 15 games of Nerlens Noel seeing some action, and then that puts him on the table for – it's kind of a fun situation because if I'm Nerlens Noel, you know, I didn't play much earlier this year. I'm looking
Quick question.
February. Yeah.
Why do you think Nerlens is going to play?
Well, who else will?
I mean, he didn't – before Duren missed the Philly game, he wasn't playing.
Well, yeah, but
– they were rotating.
Okay, sure. Yeah. And then we watch the Sixers game, the Embiid-less Sixers.
Yeah, if somebody gets hurt, they're screwed, right?
No. And I'm just saying, like, what's annoying to me is, like, okay, you don't have Bagley in that game. Like, that sucks. Oh, we also don't have Jalen Duren. That sucks. Oh, wait, no Joel Embiid. That's cool for Isaiah Stewart because Montrezl Harrell versus Isaiah Stewart, I kind of like that. And then Montrezl Harrell was like, actually, I'm going to get a jump start on my sixth man of the year campaign right now. And then fucking Paul Reed was like, I literally don't even know who the guys on the other team are, and gave us like 100 around the rim. Now, granted, Nerlens Noel was playing in this game, but I feel like we're going to find ourselves in a lot of those games where he's going to be kind of forced to play.
Yeah, like you said, there's a chance. I think if all three are healthy, Casey will continue to start with the two bigs, rotate one out quick. That one will be the backup center, and either Duren or Stewart will be on the floor at all times, I think. And I mean, maybe you sprinkle in Noel here if there's foul trouble, but yeah, I mean, it's been a, I mean, this has been a weird season. Some people call it a bad season. Some people call your people.
Yeah, it's me. I'm people.
Yeah. I mean, Isaiah has, I mean, we've talked about it before. Beef Stew has been probably, if you had to make a list of the most impressive Pistons this season, he's been near the top, if not at the top. The three ball has sunk a little bit in recent games. It's starting to level out a little bit more. I'm not worried about it. He was shooting like almost 40% from three. I would have been shocked if that would have ended like that. I mean, he's probably going to settle at like 35, 36 when he's struggling now from three. He'll have another rise and he might have another peak and he might have another, like, it's just going to be like that. But, yeah, it's been I know you've struggled getting through this season, correct?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Did you struggle getting through last season?
No, because
I want to have that discussion.
Cade was playing and Sadiq was good and Isaiah was awesome. And like, yeah, Cade was also new. So there was like this feeling of like, oh my God, is it going to happen? And if Cade was playing right now, I would be having a lot more fun. Even if we were losing the same amount of games, I'd be having a lot more fun, which, by the way, we wouldn't be. We'd be winning a few more. But, you know,
I think a lot of that and what you're saying is like comes down to expectations now. Like,
well, yeah, yeah, for sure.
Right. So like if you had expectations that this team was going to like win games and compete for a play in, like, you're probably out of it. Not you. I'm not saying
but,
you. I'm saying,
but, you know, I did. Right. OK.
Right. And I've noticed that, too. Like, since the rebuild started, and we'll say winter of 2020. This is probably like the least engaged people have been. And it's very curious. I'm very curious about that. Because I understand that they're not winning, and then there's some games where they don't really have a chance, and then there's games that they surprise you and they win. But like, this team has never had more young talent than it has right now. But I still think it comes down to like people expected this team to compete for the play-in, which, as you know, I never subscribe to that.
I was talking to a few people about this the other day, actually, so I think this is really interesting that this came up, because honestly, I otherwise wouldn't have mentioned this. There's like this weird, almost palpable, like, veteran fatigue, it almost feels like, where people are tired. You know, 3 years ago, who was our best player? Jeremy Grant, veteran. Fine. It was his first year on the team, like, it was cool. Last year, who's the best player on the team? Jeremy Grant, veteran. And people kind of got annoyed of it pretty quick. This year, who's the best player on the team? It was Cade, and then Cade's not playing anymore. Oh, we're back to Bogdanovich. And when that guy does the exact same thing as one of the prominent young guys, Sadiq Bey, then it feels a little reductive to people sometimes, or maybe redundant's a little bit better of a word. And I was thinking about that for a few days, and I don't know if that's where I am, because it's like, well, if you're the Pistons right now, are you going to force Sadiq Bey to be your best player just because he's a young guy? Like, yeah, sometimes a veteran is going to be your best player because they're a really good basketball player, and that's it. But I think the point of it is, like, when that veteran is at best, like, the third best player on an actually good team, that's when people kind of start to feel bad, and when we have to keep having – and this isn't, like – this is nothing against Jeremy Grant or Bogdanovich at all. I don't even know if this makes sense to you. But
it makes sense to me, like, what you're saying. But I guess my disagreement with people when I do hear that, and you're not the only one to say that, is, I guess you could look at certain teams around the league, and you're like, yeah, the young players are their best player, but like, those teams also stink. So it's like, okay, Houston's best players are young players, but they're a mess.
Yeah, do you want to be Charlotte right now? Is that what you want?
Right. Like, do you want to be Charlotte? Orlando's in a good spot, but San Antonio, like, their best player is Keldon Johnson. He's been in the league, what, 3-4 years now? Like,
some people might say Devin Vassell.
Or some people, basketball nerd internet Twitter, might say Jakob Poeltl. I don't want to say basketball nerd. I don't mean that in like a deflammatory way, but just like the diehards. I consider myself one of those. I had a specific person in mind.
Yeah, okay.
So like, to me, like, everybody, I think everybody's like in their mind through this rebuild was like, I don't know how to describe it, but I feel like people thought that this team was just going to like draft all these young guys, and these young guys were going to grow and be the team for the next 15 years. And it's like, I mean, that'd be awesome. It doesn't work like that. Most picks don't work out. Trades to get better players come about. Teams get cap space to round out the roster. I understand that ideally you want Ivy or Durin or Sadiq or Isaiah or Killian to be the best player on this team currently, but they're not right now. I mean, you could also – I mean, we're also just, like, basing this on offense, and if you're talking about, like, who's the most important player right now, it's Killian.
Agreed.
Which is – so it's like, okay, but people are dismissing that because the team isn't winning, and I think it just got lost in the sauce. This year was supposed to be another rebuilding year. I think the reason it only looks this – sour is because Cade's not playing. Ivy struggled. Durin is a rim-running big man. Like, he's been solid and he's been good, but those guys don't change your fortune at 19 years old. And yes, Sadiq has struggled. He's been up and down. Did I mention Ivy?
Yes.
Okay.
Routinely, yeah.
And... yeah, so it's like Isaiah Stewart's improved. He's, like I said, he's right up there with Killian. So it's like there's reasons to be optimistic once Cade gets back and this team gets cap space. And that's another thing that goes missing is this team still hasn't had like significant cap space throughout this whole process, and they're finally going to.
Yeah.
I don't know. You get Boyan because you want to be a good team eventually, and he's a good player. And as we've all seen, he was – the 2B best player on a team that routinely won 55 plus games or 50 plus games or whatever. And he's as good now as he was then. So, I don't know. I understand. Like it is tough to watch sometimes, but it's also because like they're playing even more young guys than before. So I don't know. I understand people's frustration.
Here's something. Maybe you can hold my hand and walk me through this one. So we do the defense thing a lot. Pistons have, like, historically the worst defense. Well, just in terms of for franchise history, at least. Like, this is the worst defensive Pistons team ever. But then it's like, yeah, but you look around the league and it's like, is that not probably a little more common than you'd think this year with teams, that they're probably a lot worse defensively than they've been in years past? Like, this year specifically. You know what I mean? Because there's
if I pulled up the worst defensive teams in the league, I think they're all – rebuilding teams. You can go ahead and keep talking and I'll look that up.
Yeah, I mean, it's really just the principle of like, look, that's not to say that the Pistons are, hey, this is actually like propaganda. They're not actually that bad defensively. It's just because there's a scoring bubble in the NBA and it hasn't burst yet. It's like, no, they're pretty bad. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, I think it's a little bit overblown just because everybody is bad defensively this year, or everybody's really good offensively, if that's how you want to look at it. What's going to burst first, the podcast bubble or the scoring bubble? Because I thought the podcast bubble was going to burst like 4 years ago, and it never did. People are still making podcasts every day.
Podcast bubble.
You think this is like the new norm in the NBA? That's interesting.
I think. No, you're right. Probably the defense or the offense bubble. I think defenses will. I think the league might do something eventually. But really quick. So the worst. You ready for the worst seven defenses in the league?
Yeah.
Technically 30th is the San Antonio Spurs. Then the Pistons, then the Rockets, three rebuilding teams. Then it's the Utah Jazz, who are retooling, you could say.
Sneaky America's team.
Let's not do that.
Sneaky.
The Charlotte Hornets. Now that's a team that has... I think Pistons fans look at their team and how, like, actually how the Hornets are playing. Like... there aren't four or five like vets out there like playing 30 minutes a game. You know what I mean? There's two regularly. The Hornets are bad, and they're playing guys like Terry Rozier and Gordon Hayward when he's healthy, and Mason Plumlee and Kelly Oubre, even though he just went out. You know what I mean? Like that's that's where you don't want to be. Like that's inexcusable. Not the Pistons, who are starting four guys who are 21 and under. But then it goes the Kings and the Magic. So I mean, yeah, I mean, most of these teams are the rebuilding are in the Wemby sweepstakes. The Spurs, Rockets, Pistons, Hornets, and Magic. So of the rebuilding teams, quote unquote, like, they're all right there.
You know, when it comes to, because the whole scoring bubble thing is a big, big topic of discussion these days. And I was trying to think, like everybody else, why? Like, what's the why here? How is this happening? It's not just as simple as, like Popovich thinks, like, oh, well, you're just not allowed to play defense anymore. Well, if by not allowed to play defense, you mean, like, the NBA eliminating those completely BS take fouls in transition this year, which is, I think, one of my favorite rule changes in recent history. I absolutely love it. I wonder how much that has contributed to it, because I think it would be marginal for the most part, but it's not like there wouldn't be any correlation there. You know what I mean? Because now teams are able to run a lot more.
Yeah, I don't know if that has, I mean, maybe marginally, but like most of the time, if somebody was gonna, so you're getting automatic two free throws for that foul. Most of the time, if they weren't fouled, they were gonna get a layup or a dunk. But if they were fouled, side out of bounds, was that the rule before? I can't remember. I don't know, maybe. I just think also there's just like a lot of really damn good players that can score from all over the floor.
Yeah,
and I think that's like 80% of it, and I think eventually defenses will catch up, or the league will allow, and I don't want to allow hand checking, but maybe tweak the rules a little bit where it's a little bit more physical.
Let's get crazy, let's do it. Hand checking, why not?
I don't. Have you gone back and watched any of those Pistons Pacers games from the early 2000s, mid 2000s? I'd rather kiss broccoli. But does that even make sense? Kiss broccoli?
Chris broccoli?
No, kiss broccoli, fool.
Oh, I was like,
not Chris broccoli. I went to high school with a kid named Chris Broccoli.
Did you? I went to
I didn't. His name was Chris Money.
What an arbitrary thing to lie about. I finally figured something out with Hamidou. I've been saying for 2 years, with him specifically, I say this about a lot of things. It's like a big, like, Nick-ism. When I say, like, man, when it works, it just works. You know what I mean? Like, to me, that makes complete sense. With Hamidou Diallo, when it makes sense, it makes complete sense. But I never know what I mean by that. It's always a visual thing. I'm watching this Sixers game, and I finally realized what I mean. Whenever Hamidou Diallo is going downhill and he catches the ball on the move from either the wing or above the break, goes downhill and draws an and one, that's what I mean. That's what I mean by, man, when it works with Hamidou Diallo, it works. Or when
he's cutting.
Yep. He does it, or like on the baseline, anything on the baseline, when he does that, boom. But everything else, hate it.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, Dwayne's talked about it. He said Hami's been playing within, aside from him being like kind of the energy boost the team needs, but he's playing within himself. He's cutting. He's not settling for as many mid-range jumpers, or he's getting and pushing in transition. He's just, he's playing within himself a little bit more, and he certainly has added like a different dimension that the team needs. And I think it's going to be interesting when Isaiah Livers comes back, because I think they play Livers. They need help on the wing defensively. He can shoot the ball.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me do the math real quick. So you got the starting five in the rotation.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Then you have Burks. Okay.
6.
Then you have, Bagley's out.
Durant.
Am I missing? No, he starts.
Oh, right.
Burks, Sadiq, Hami, including Livers. That's 9.
Yep.
I feel like we're missing one more.
I'm letting you figure this out.
Kojo doesn't always play as
Kojo was the one that I was like, I don't know if this counts, so I was gonna give it to you, but I didn't know if you're gonna be like, no.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess actually there is room. Knox is, Hami's kind of taking the knock. I guess there's room. What was I gonna say?
Loved that baseline 25 footer from Kevin Knox that went heel yesterday. Thanks, Kevin, loved that.
Where are you at on How are you feeling on Ivy? I want to get the fan perspective.
That's been weird. You know what? Apparently that Sixer game made me realize a lot of things. You know what I realized watching that Sixer game last night? I'm watching Tyrese Maxey, and I was like, oh, that. I want that. That's what I want. That's what I want Jaden Ivey to play like. That's my answer. That's probably the simplest that I can make it. Because I also love...
I mean, the biggest difference in that is Ivy can't shoot like Maxey.
No, 100% yeah, not. Yeah. And the other big difference is... Maxey does not elevate the same way that Ivy does with anything, whether it's around the rim or whether it's on his jumper. Like, Jaden jumps straight up like he's got like 12 inches on him. Like, he jumps way higher. Obviously, he's way more athletic. I just mean the touch that Maxey has around the rim, obviously, like you said, I mean, way better shooter. It's not even close. And it would really be easy for me to sit here and be like, you know what I would love? I'd love for him to just be like, you know, Tyrese Maxey and John Morant. Like, that would be great. But if we could all just make players in a lab, then the league probably would.
You're making Tyrese Maxey?
If I could make a player in a lab, the first player I would make would be a 50-50 split between John Morant and Tyrese Maxey, yeah.
And Luke Kornet. That's a...
Spencer Hawes.
Yeah, I mean, I think I think there's a few things that we've learned so far, and again, this isn't, we're not putting ink to paper here. Like, he just played half a season. At least for right now, he's not a point guard. I think we've learned that.
Did we say that pre-draft? I'm just curious. I'll have to rake over the takes again. I'll listen to some pre-draft pods, and I'll get back to you on that.
Yeah. And that's not to say that can't change, but right now he's an off-ball guard.
Hey, Allen Iverson wasn't a point guard either, so yeah, not the worst thing.
I think the best version of Ivy is second side. You swing it to him, catch and go, just immediately go. Put him in the you sprinkle in pick and rolls for him, and you'd like to, he actually does cut. He has the intentions of cutting well often, and that's a good thing. Like, you almost kind of want to see him right now kind of play like the best version of Hamidou, just with a little bit more pick and roll sprinkled in, if you know what I mean. Like, think about it.
When I'm trying.
You want Killian to swing the ball to Hamidou and Hamidou just take off toward the rim. That's what you want Ivy to do. Sure. You want Ivy to get the ball and push it in transition. You want Ivy to cut when he doesn't have the ball. But he has a good enough feel and a good enough handle that you want to sprinkle in pick and rolls, obviously, or more than sprinkle, but I don't know if that's his heaviest load. I think he's – and this is not – like, this isn't all said and done. Like, I don't want people to misconstrue that, whatever. What's the word?
So what you're trying to say is that it's not sealed and signed. It's not Billie Jean, but the kid is yours.
Yeah. I just saying right now, I think he's certainly is more of an off-ball guard, and I think that will be interesting to see play out. I guess this is my question for you. We'll just say, for hypotheticals, like, the Pistons get Wimby next season, right?
Okay.
Based on what you've seen so far this year, how are you? What's your starting lineup next season? Assuming. Like, don't factor in free agents. Just from, like, yeah, Wemby and the team here. And,
yep, that's...
And Cade.
Okay, we go... So it's funny, because I was actually going to ask you about Scoot, and so we can do that after. I would go Cade 1, Ivy 2, Sadiq 3, Stu 4, Wemby 5.
Really?
How's that?
I mean, sure, it's 5.
Yeah, I'm not taking Isaiah Stewart out of the starting lineup as long as he's a Detroit Piston. I love him. I love him so much.
I was more so thinking, like, if in the front court you go big, you go, because Wemby can create and he can dribble.
You want Durin?
I would go Durin, Wemby, and Isaiah. Like, Wemby's like the 3-5 hybrid.
Ooh, Sadiq 6 then?
He'd be the 6th man.
Right.
I guess I asked you this to tell you, like, my backcourt right now at this point in time would be Cade and Killian.
Oh.
Because listen, and that's not to say that that's forever. I'm saying, based on what we've seen this season and going into next year, We haven't seen this version of Killian next to Kate. And that's like kind of what everybody wanted to see. Like, if you want to play Kate off the ball more, and Killian is the best passer on the team, he's the most trusted lead guard. And now you feel a lot better about playing Killian off the ball because he's shooting that thing.
Yeah.
So, and it's still possible that it happens that J.I. improves his three-point shooting and the decision-making improves as the season improves, because, again, he's a rookie. It's been 41 games. I'm not writing it down in pen. People don't freak out. I'm saying, from what we've seen so far, I really think the Cade-Killian backcourt could work. And then I also think there's a word where you go, maybe Cade, Killian, and Ivy.
That's like it's the middle of January and we've got some injuries and we kind of need to plug something together that looks kind of fun, sell some tickets. I don't think I wouldn't do that seriously.
I can understand it, but yeah, I mean, at my first, if you get Wimby, I would go the three bigs up front, play a Cleveland, pseudo Cleveland lineup.
Bro.
And then you go Killian and Cade. And let Ivy do whatever he wants in the second unit and just bust guys like Ty Jerome in the head.
How I feel like we should just use like the Washington Generals as like the blueprint of how to tank. Those dudes lose games all the time. Although they don't really.
The Washington Generals.
Yeah, it was like a Globetrotters thing.
That's funny. I was like thinking, I was like, isn't that the team that the Globetrotter? That's good.
Yeah,
that's
they
funny.
Lose all the time.
That's a good joke.
James, it's funny because the train of thought that I had to get there, I didn't actually say out loud, so the context was missing from why I was thinking about that. But anyways, James,
Hold on really quick. You have a French Connection shirt, and, like, Killian's been balling, and you just – I don't really care for your, like – you've just been very cool about it. Like, you barely even bring it up.
Can I – the French thing, does he, like – because he's from Florida. Like,
yeah.
What about him – like, he just played there, right?
No. He was born in Florida, but he grew up in France.
I thought he lived in Florida, and he went over to – oh, no. He played in Germany when we drafted him.
He played
him.
In Germany when they drafted him. Yeah, but he grew up – I'm actually – while I'm going to be in Paris next week, I'm doing a Killian story. So,
God, that's going to be so good. James, we are going to talk about your Paris trip in just a second, but first, we are taking a break to get an ad read from – this is a bucket list thing for me – Manscaped.
You're a sicko. But shout out to Manscaped.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Alrighty, James, assuming everything goes according to plan, this time next week, you are going to be in Europe. You're going to be going over to France, going to be hanging out in Paris for a couple days, actually. You got a good amount of days over there. Going to be watching the Pistons take on the Bulls and super excited for it. I thought it would be fun with all of my European knowledge to give you some don'ts on when you travel to Europe. What?
I love this game. Just really quickly, because you know while the reason you said what you said at the top of this segment, you know the situation I'm going through.
Well, yeah, but
with the passport.
Okay,
no,
yeah,
but I want to talk about it.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I was trying to avoid it because I didn't think you'd want to get into it. But yeah, okay.
No,
let's do
I want to because if anybody from the U.S. government is listening, or anybody who has pull at passport agencies or international travel, listen up. So I am a 30-year-old man from Flint, Michigan, who got the passport to go to Jamaica in college. And has since only been to Canada for work when I go to Toronto or vacation. How in the blue hell am I supposed to know that the expiration date on your passport means nothing. Means nothing, according to the U.S. government and to these other countries. Let me explain. So I'm thinking I'm all good and dandy. Like, I'm not even sweating it. My passport does not expire until February. Cool. I leave for Paris January 15th. I come back January 21st. Quick little 4 or 5 day trip.
In and out.
And I'm sitting on the court pregame and talking to Vince Ellis, who will also be on the trip. And he's telling me, he's like, dude, I think your passport needs to be active 3 to 6 months after you return, like, just based on the country. I was like, what? Like, what does that even mean? He's like, yeah, like, it has to be active 3 months after you return. I'm like, well, what's the point of the expiration date? And he's like, I don't know what to tell you, but that's it. So
yours would actually need to be, like, April is what you're saying.
Yeah, apparently, to go to Paris for 4 days in January when my passport expires in February, whatever. It's just, like, my question is, like, how am I supposed to know that? And I'm in a situation where I have a blessed life. I'm able to go to cool places and do cool things. But, like, there are people who don't get to do these things and then maybe, like, saved up all their money to go on this big trip. And their passport's in the same situation. They can't go. Like, this isn't taught anywhere. It's like taxes. Like, this, I've never been taught this. I've never learned this. The only way I feel like you learn this is, one, you get lucky and somebody who's gone through it mentions it to you, or two, you fly out of the country and then they turn you back around until you got to go home. So if you never knew this, like I didn't, I want to use this as a PSA to make sure you check all that. But go ahead with your game.
This is probably the best usage of our platform of all time, is letting people know about passport expiration. Now, I do not have a passport, but I tell you what, man, a lot of places that I want to go. So we'll see. Okay, so what I'm going to be doing today, James, I'm going to be telling you how to not stick out like an American while you are in France.
Please, hit me.
Cool. So these are an amalgam.
Why am I taking advice from you first?
Because I know Europeans like the back of my hand, and I know Americans a lot better than that.
All right, that's enough for me.
Just speaking as one, I think I'm decently qualified. Okay, number one, I know you're going to do this. It's not your fault, but I get you kind of have to. Don't bring a suitcase.
I have to.
See, you say you have to because you are going to be there for a few days. That's what you do, right? You just bring a suitcase. I learned that suitcases are like inherently American, that Europeans are like, no, modesty is really cool. And we like little satchels and little leather-bound books and stuff that we can sling around our shoulders. And the other big problem is because in Europe, they just like, I guess elevators are like, in America, there are like more elevators than there are anywhere else in the world, and that most people just use stairs. So when you have to lug a suitcase up a bunch of stairs in a hotel, that sucks. It's not to say the hotel you're going to stay at probably won't have an elevator, because it probably will. But yeah, learn that. No suitcases, but well, you have to bring one, and I get it.
That's happening. Yeah, that's wild.
Okay. 0-1. I think we're going to go 0-2. No baseball hats. Can't wear that style of hat. Can't do it. Nope. Can't do it. Not in France. No shot.
I'm getting a cut before I go, so I might not need one, but I'm taking a hat with me just in case.
I was going to say, you have nice hair. You have a great hairline. For a 30-year-old, you have great hair. Okay, I don't mean for a 30-year-old. I'm just saying, because like when I'm 30, like you already see how pushed back my stuff is. When I'm 30, it's going to be gone, right?
Yeah, I just have great hair. Thank you.
So I, you know, hey.
The only reason I'm wearing a hat is because like I didn't wash my hair. Like, I got mixed people hair, so it's like curly. Like, I gotta wash it, otherwise it looks, yeah.
Gotcha. This one blew my mind. And you're gonna have to really think about this one. In order to not stick out like an American in France, James, don't lean on anything. Americans, we love to lean on things. I tell you what, I was at a restaurant the other night. I had booked a reservation, had to wait a little bit for the table to become ready for 15 minutes. I caught myself. I'm leaning on the door. I'm leaning on the wall next to me, right? I'm just posted up, but I'm leaning. Europeans, they don't lean. They stand or they sit.
Why'd you get a reservation at Chipotle?
It was called the 2D restaurant. It is in Boys Town, maybe Lincoln Park, kind of on the border there a little bit. Okay.
So they don't lean on anything. They're just... They have good posture.
Good backs over in Europe. So don't lean it. Don't lean on anything. And the last one, this one also kind of blew my mind, but it's true. Eating on the go is a no-go. So like when you and I went and got Stan's donuts and then we were walking to the water tower and you're eating your Stan's donut, don't do it. You'll stick out like a sore thumb. I know in a lot of Asian countries too, drinking on the go is another thing. They're like, that's rude. Kind of a dick if you do that. In Europe, if you get a little nice croissant, eating a baguette, sit down. They have the infrastructure for it. Sit down.
Well, yeah, most of the time I it's very rare instances when I walk and eat. That's good to know. Interesting. I still don't get the luggage one. Like, what am I supposed to do?
Modesty. And then and last one, fashion tip, bring a scarf. Europeans like scarves too. Fashion, you know, blend in a little bit.
I'm not bringing a scarf.
Also, it's France, so like, I don't know, what's the efficient Marlboro Reds? Is what?
what's a, not Paramount?
Parliaments? Are we back to the Parliaments? We made a Parliament joke like a week or two ago.
I feel like that's very French.
Are we going to, you might be right. Are we going to get an ad read from Parliament? Would the Athletic green like that?
Do they even make Parliaments anymore?
They do make Parliaments. I actually saw some today at 7-Eleven.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just...
Oh, and then
the
really,
fits I'm getting off.
Oh, I can't imagine. Yeah.
And these are just like lounge around the city fits. I'm not even, yeah.
I want to throw this out there really quick. So we will be recording the day before your flight, technically. So
the
that
day
means,
of my flight.
Well, the day of your flight, I apologize. So that means there will be one more opportunity for other people to give you advice. So this is where I open the floor to our wonderful listeners, bunandcardigan@gmail.com, spelled phonetically. That is A-N-D, bunandcardigan@gmail.com. If you are non-American, don't even have to be European, could be from anywhere. If you are non-American, what is like an indicator that you are an American so that we can tell James not to do that thing while he's in Europe?
Or if you are an American and you've been to Paris and
oh yeah,
there are certain standards and practices that you would recommend, please let me know.
Yes.
The only thing I've done so far is I got the proper outlet for the wall. That you have to have a certain type of plug.
Because the electricity, it'll fry your stuff, yeah.
Yeah, it's a little different.
Yep.
And I know I have to at least try to speak French at first. Like, I have to, when I go up to the hotel concierge, like, I have to be like, not au revoir, bonjour.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to I'm here to check in. I have to figure out how to say that. I have to at least try. And they'll be able to tell I don't speak French, but they'll respect me for trying, and then they'll probably speak English. I've heard stories of if you're American and you don't even try to speak French, that they'll be very dismissive. But if you at least give it a shot, then if they speak English, they'll try to do it. So that's another thing I've heard.
I would be good in a Spanish speaking country. I could
be
like,
better off
do
in
the
Spanish, yeah.
Porque está importante para mí para y hermano.
Yeah. Shout out to my brother.
Yeah, I was talking about you.
Yeah, my brother.
Yeah, okay, cool. Of all the European countries, is France like the one that you were like, I want to go there the most? I tell you what, your girlfriend's got to be kind of pissed, right? You get to be in France for 5 days and she doesn't get to come.
Yeah, she's not happy.
That would be a really hard conversation. Like, hey, I'm going to go to France for the week. I'll be back. I'll see you soon. What?
Yeah,
what do you mean?
She's not the happiest. Actually, funny enough, my sister's going.
Oh, my God. I tell you what, dude. I don't know if we've mentioned this on the show. It's like one of the things about not working for Wave anymore is like I've talked to them about this. I know they would have greenlit me going to Paris. They would have paid for that. I know for a fact that they would have. We would have been able
to sit down with
Wembanyama. Not even that, but just like the idea that you also would have been there, so we could have done the Bun and Cardigan show from Paris.
Under the Eiffel Tower?
Under the Eiffel Tower, eating baguettes.
That'd have been hard.
If you want, you could bring I could ship you my silly little hat that I like to wear that nobody likes, apparently.
Oh, your Inspector Gadget hat?
Yeah, my flat bill, my flat cap. That works really well over there. Europeans love silly little hats. Like mine, the little flat cap.
I don't know if that's true, but...
It is in the UK. They like that hat in the UK, at least. Yeah.
I was going to say...
Italy, Poland.
I was going to say England's the one in Europe I want to go to the most, but that's the soccer fan in me. Not that, obviously, France, ridiculous, but in terms of, like, I want to go see Tottenham play.
Yeah.
Like
that stadium would just be cool to see.
100%.
Yeah, Iceland is the country that I just, I mean, obviously England will always be my number one until I go, but Iceland is the one that I think is maybe the most beautiful country in the world.
My sister's layover is Iceland.
Really? Oh, even having that, even getting to just fly over it would be, I would lose my mind. That would be so pretty.
My layover is in Amsterdam.
Ooh, that's kind of fun.
Yeah, but it's not long enough to go to the red light district.
What's on the, and I guess I could save some of these questions for next week, but what's
I'm joking.
Yeah, I was just trying to speed past that one for you. What's on like the watch list for the flight? Have you prepped that yet?
My eyelids.
100 milligrams, 150.
So this is my this is my plan of attack. My plan, and shout out to Max Boltman, who actually will be flying to Sweden that day. He's going to do some Red Wing stuff. Hope I didn't.
The hell's going on with Vrana?
What was I going to say? Oh, my plan is to wake up at 3 a.m. on Sunday and stay up all day.
Oh, nice, smart.
Because France is 6 hours ahead.
Yeah.
And my flight leaves at 7. I get into Amsterdam at 8 a.m. their time. So, yeah, I'm going to wake up at 3 and just try to – and it's a 7 – and it's basically an 8-hour flight from Detroit to Amsterdam, so I'm going to just try to sleep that whole time.
Delta?
Yeah, of course.
God, that's devastating. But, bro, you're going to rack up so many miles with that trip.
Yeah, I think it's like – I want to say it's like 8,000 total.
Wow. That's like 2 free flights. What's the best upgrade you've gotten from Delta?
Like first row.
Oh, that's it.
Happens all the time. What do you mean? Hmm. That's it. That's all. That's all.
I just know United. Plane? I just know you.
Like that's the closest I can get.
Oh man, hey sir, so sorry for the delay. Do you want to fly the plane as a complimentary?
We appreciate your gold. We appreciate your platinum medallion status. You want to come sit on Pilot Christopher's lap?
You want to be the marshal of this flight? Do you want to hold a concealed weapon? Oh man. Alrighty, James. Well, hopefully you get the passport. Oh my god, that's the funniest.
Yeah, I'll have an update for you guys on the next pod. I'll either
be super going... pissed or really excited or really tired.
Yeah, facts.
Alrighty, ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, be sure to rate 5 stars, leave a review, subscribe if you're feeling generous. If you're listening to this on Spotify, you can also leave 5 stars. See, last week I had a really hard time getting through that. Got through it, no problem there. No sweat. Back in the saddle. We will catch you guys in the next one.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a 1-year subscription to The Athletic.
See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code The Athletic and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.